Hello, you're listening to Shoes on a Wire on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC. My name is Madeline Taylor, and today is all about Louisville, Kentucky scream pop band Girlwood. I've played them on the show before and was lucky enough to interview them a few weeks ago, and today you all get to hear it. So right now I'm going to offer a content warning to everyone listening. I have bleeped all of the swear words in the interview, but we do talk about some explicit subject matter. So if you're not comfortable hearing about a couple punks talk about gay things, then I suggest you tune out right now. But for the rest of you who decide to stick around, I hope you enjoy. So Girlwood came together as a two-piece last August 2017 and have since recorded and released their first full-length record, Daddy, which came out on Sonoblast Records in June of 2018. We talked about their origin stories, queerness in the armpit of America, life under Trump, what makes them good and what makes punk good, and some wild stories about their life in Louisville. But before we get to the interview, I wanted to play a track off of their record Daddy. Again, came out in June. This is You're So Cute.
To like 10 cops in my face today.
Yeah.
10 cops?
Yeah, my roommate climbed through his window to get in because he lost his key, so someone called the police thinking someone was breaking in, so they literally brought 10 police cars and came into my room with flashlights asking me questions.
That's horrifying.
Oh, it was awful.
Are you okay?
Yeah. And I had weed in my room, so
no.
I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna catch a charge because my roommate climbed through a window.
Right. Because someone broke in and entering yesterday, and they looked at me and they were like, who are you? And I was like, the f***ing leaseholder. Who the f*** are you? How'd you get in? They were like, oh, we just walked in. I'm like, you just walked in. They're like, well, we knocked and no one answered. I was like, so you just walked in? So we started locking the door. And then one of the roommates forgot their keys. It was stupid. That's our life. I feel honestly like every day is very full of action living here at this art gallery.
Yeah.
So do you both live in the same place?
Yeah, we live in an art gallery.
Ray lives upstairs where the dude climbed through the window, and I live in the downstairs and where all the art is and where police just walked inside.
Well, the police part sucks, but the rest of it sounds pretty cool.
Oh, it's fucking awesome.
It is awesome, honestly, yeah. It gives you, like, a lot of space to bitch and complain if you're that kind of person, like me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm totally that bitch. But, yep. It's good. I like it.
Cool. Is weed legal in Kentucky yet?
Not at all.
No.
Not even a little?
I mean, like, 8 years ago, like, you'd go to jail for, like, a small amount. But now, if you have a small amount on you, you're not going to go to jail. They'll give you a ticket. But it's totally illegal.
If you're in a small town in Kentucky, they will throw your ass in jail for probably even just smelling like weed.
I play guitar and I sing.
My name's Karen and I hit
I want to do a little bit of an origin story thing for both of you. So I'm curious about, like, where you're both from and what it was like growing up for you.
Well, I'm from a small town in Kentucky called Ratcliffe. My mother was a teacher. My father was a firefighter. And this is my life story.
We had to sell a horse. We had to survive last week.
Right. No, I grew up going to a very, very small school where I had the same kids in class, and that kind of made me, like, I don't know, kind of a quiet person growing up. Middle school, we moved to Elizabethtown, which is that really shitty Orlando Bloom movie about, and that place was f***ing awful, and I was always, like, made fun of, I guess, for, like, dressing masculine, or I guess just looking gay. Like, even when I was 10, people would call me lesbo and stuff as an insult, and I guess people have just always known.
good boy, yes, good boy.
But
they just had an inkling.
Yeah, I guess so, but
you could smell the gay from a mile away.
Yeah, I guess so, but no, I picked up the drums in middle school and through band class, and went on to do drumline in high school, but I was the only girl, and the guys were just, like, complete douchebags to me, and I was in a bunch of shitty hardcore bands in high school, and then I moved to Louisville, and about two and a half years or so into moving to Louisville, I met Ray at a bar, and we played a show 2 weeks later, and now we're still kicking it.
Dang, you played a show 2 weeks after you met.
Yeah, so I was solo, so I already had a set list, you know what I mean? I was already performing by myself because I couldn't find any, like, help in my local community, or I just couldn't find what I wanted. And then so I met Karen at a bar at a Girlwood show, and Karen was like, hey, I play drums, let me know if you want to jam. I was
so
like,
you were already Girlwood before you guys got together.
Yeah, so we met at a bar, and then I was like, well, I've always wanted, like, especially, like, a female drummer, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I was already kind of working with a boy drummer, and, like, he didn't really want to dedicate enough time to me. He wanted to hide his face because he wanted a lot of the topics I sing about. I don't know. He just wanted the focus to be on me, and that felt really unfair. We didn't have, like, a magical connection either, me and this guy. You know, it was a lot more work than it was fun, but me and Karen got together and we jammed, and we would jam so well. I was like, all right, well, my next show is in a week, so if you can dedicate rehearsal for me about, like, 4 hours a day every single day on top of your full-time job, then I know you're serious. And that's exactly what happened. And, like, I knew Karen was crazy, like I was, you know, about music. Like, Karen was willing to, like, dedicate full-time. So Karen, yeah, dedicated, like, 4 or 5 hours every single night to me for that whole week, and then she joined me on that show, and then since then we've kept playing the shows I already had booked, and we've been booking more on top, so we've been hella full time.
I worked at rolled burritos for 4 years, so I'd go roll my burritos during the day, and then get off and stay up late with Ray rehearsing, and then wake up at the crack of dawn to roll more burritos.
So when was that first show? Last August?
Yep, it was last August at Surface Noise Records. It was for the album release of DW.
Damn, you got good memory. Holy sh**.
Ray, I want to hear a little bit of origins about you and then get into talking a little bit more about the music. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up here in Louisville, Kentucky. My mom had a pretty bad drug problem growing up, so I had a pretty abusive childhood, like moving around different, like, essentially crack houses with different boyfriends. And then when I turned, then I got kicked out when I was 15, so I was homeless. So I tried going to college, but then at the age of 18, I was like, this is stupid, because I was like, yeah, I don't know. I had already come from such like a poor background. The whole like college lifestyle, I just couldn't really do. So I used the last of my government money and bought a one-way plane ticket to Honduras, where I traveled the world for 6 years and lived in a tent and hitchhiked everywhere. And I played guitar in the street for money so I could eat food. I did that for 6 years. My travels went from Central America to North America to Europe. I was in Europe for two and a half years. Kind of sort of got in some immigration problems and then came back to the U.S. to focus on music. And that's why I came back, and I moved back into Louisville. Was it around 2016? And yeah, it was Girlwood then and Girlwood now, and I'm finally doing it.
What did that do for your guitar playing? Like, when did you first start playing guitar, and how did it change as you were like doing it to make money and like live all over the world?
Well, like being a someone who just like enjoyed playing guitar and being the person where like you get drunk at a party and everyone's like, oh, that's the girl that can play guitar. Play us a song. You know what I mean? Like at like 3 a.m. got real. Like you get like a small repertoire for like, I guess like some covers and stuff. But I always play my own songs. I don't know. I played well. I played pretty well, but it wasn't. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Nothing really got fulfilled from that. You know what I mean? So then, having a guitar and needing to play it to eat food every day, you know, you're playing guitar and singing in the street, you're like up against the elements and you're playing 5 hours a day, if not more. That can be extremely taxing, but it does a lot for building strength in many, 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 many ways, right? So what that's done for me now is given me, because I also absorbed a lot of, I guess, like musical influence from Central America, because that's where I lived for 3 years and played in the streets. And then I guess like musical influence as well from Scandinavia, because that's the last place I was when I was playing in the streets. Yeah, it's done well for me, in I guess skill and whatnot.
Yeah, like when I first heard you guys, I was sort of like, oh cool, this is like surf punk. I don't know, I've heard you guys describe yourselves, or read that you described yourselves as scream pop. Like, where would you throw yourselves into that whole metric?
I've had people say, yeah, you guys are like surf punk, and it's like, if that's how people digest it, then sure. I would probably say, I feel like punk is also can be used for anything, kind of. It's a very versatile word. I am a huge sucker for pop music. A lot of people will actually laugh when they hear, like, the kind of music I listen to, because I listen to just, like, fucking straight up Madonna, Lady Gaga, just, like, pop music. And that's how my music is structured. I might have, like, maybe, like, Latin American influence, like, riffs in guitar, or like, surfy riffs in guitar. But really, the structure is pop. I'm just screaming instead of singing the hooks, in my opinion. And that's why I would call it scream pop. It's aggressive pop music, I'd say.
Yeah, totally. But also, like, your vocals kind of go in a lot of different directions. Like, when I first listened through the EP that had Communicate With Me on it, and to this day, like, I listened to this that song on the bus ride here. Like, when you take that in the end of that one verse where you just keep going up and up and up and up and up in intervals, like, and then break into screams, it gives me chills every single time. And it just seems like, do you have like operatic training? Like, how do you do that? How did you find your voice?
Ooh, that's a thing. So I'd always kind of, the operatic thing's actually quite recent. I've only recently learned how to do that. I was in a music project before this one with a partner when we were in Sweden. And it was a, we both worked together, right? And I was growing a lot vocally, but I didn't feel comfortable expressing myself because I wanted things to be, the dynamic just didn't call for it. It wasn't my music project, you know, it was like ours very much, and that I want, I don't know. I had to do a lot of like toning myself down previously through music, like don't be too this, don't be too that. And so honestly, it wasn't until I started doing Girlwood that I even learned how to scream or that I learned how to do operatics. And it's because I was like, shit, I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to scream, or like, I'll never be able to like do a vibrato or a proper tremolo. That's just something I can't do. And it's kind of something I use to like, I don't know if humble myself is the right way to put it, but I was like, but someone told me, I don't know, he's being a brat. He's a 9-week-old puppy.
It's not his fault.
Come here. Get that. Get toy. Yeah, I don't know. But I was like, I don't know. My brother jokingly was like, you can do anything you want, Ray. Like, only you're really limiting yourself. And he said it as a joke. But then I was like, you're right, you know? So actually, I would sit in a car and I would practice. I would look at vibrato technique or how to train that muscle to move in the car. And then before work, I would sit in the car and I would practice. And the screaming came from being able to finally like be alone and do my own thing musically and not be held back by anyone. So I really had that space and that comfortability and that desire to really just explore the extent of what I was capable of instead of feeling like I had to stay quieter for someone else.
Yeah. Karen, you were saying that you were involved in Drumline and then also involved in hardcore bands. What would you say is like more influential to how you play now, and like how do you develop your skill as a drummer?
Well, Drumline definitely came first. Also, a key part of the Drumline thing, which I forgot to mention, was my instructor, who was not a teacher at the school, but I don't know, was somehow maybe retired teacher or something, but he grabbed me by my drum harness and like shoved me into a wall the day before I quit because I was standing in his way. And I remember him just like, he was definitely the type of, I don't know, he was such an asshole, but I did learn so much good stuff. A lot of the strict discipline, I think, from like in band class, it's just repetition. Like, you're going to do the same 4 bars for 2 hours until you get it right. And if you don't, we're going to like take your drumsticks and throw them across a field and make you run for them and do some push-ups or something stupid. But that came first. And I don't know, I just kept getting like, even like sexually harassed by the guys. Like, I don't know, I'd drop something and I'd bend over to pick it up, and then you have to worry about someone like dry humping you from behind. It was really asinine. But as soon as I quit that, I decided like, I need to do like music how I want to do music. And I just sought out some friends from school and made a band with them. In terms of which, like, I don't know, which I think about more, honestly, I don't know. I really did get a lot out of Drumline. In terms of playing with people though, I don't know, even the bands I had in high school, it's like we'd never write songs. Every practice we would just jam endlessly. And that really helped my like improv skills. And a lot of Girlwood's songs have been made through improv. So I think ultimately, you know, that really, really helped me.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like maybe for both of you, you've taken a lot of like just being f***ed with by people who should have been supporting you and put that into getting really, really good at music.
Sure, yeah, I think yeah. That is totally a big part of it, absolutely. Yeah, whereas if, sad to say, it sucks that, like, it has to be this way, but, like, if we were born into different bodies, we probably would have, we definitely would not have had the struggles presented to us that we had. We would have never had to hone our skill as much as we had to, right, to even be relevant or to even matter.
Mm-hmm.
And people like that, you know, it's just they didn't know at the time, you know, these people think that they're tearing you down, but in the long run, like, they're adding fuel to this fire to make you push harder and work even harder for what you want, just to not just prove them wrong, but do it for yourself to show that you can do something.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, like, my brother's one who was like, you can do anything you want, Ray. But he was saying it sarcastically, like, you're never going to be able to do that. You know what I mean? Like we're not, we don't come from an opera background. You can't do that, you know, or, yeah.
And you're just like, you're right, and I will.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. And sadly, I think, like, I operate in a lot of ways in my life about that.
When I was a sophomore in high school, I was always, like, the nerdy kid who played video games and did art. So one year, so I came home one day, and I was like, I think I'm going to run track this year. And my mom laughed at me, and my stepdad laughed at me, and they were both like, they both put money down right in front of my face. Like, I bet $200 she's going to quit after 1 week. And then my stepdad was like, no, 2 weeks, and I'll do 350. And they were making, like, sincere bets. Oh, and God. I got so angry that I became athletic. I was like, I went vegan. I did track all year that year. I had, like, a six-pack of abs. I was like, hella athletic, mostly as a f*** you to them, but also for myself, you know. F*** you.
That's great. I mean, like, a revenge six-pack. What's better than a revenge six-pack? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know,
like,
but
look at me. I'm awesome. F*** you.
Yeah. Okay, so now you're mostly situated in, like, the Louisville scene. Tell me about that. Tell me about it, because it, from what I've, like, what I've heard listening to you and by looking at where your shows are posted, is that mostly, like, a DIY scene, or is it more embedded in a queer scene? Like, what's the breakdown? Describe it to me.
Well, in terms of DIY venues, I think DIY venues, we do live one, but I think DIY venues are unfortunately kind of venues that come in and come out, and you'll have time periods where you're like, damn, like, the DIY scene is what everyone's a part of. Like, it's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of really cool shows at houses, you know. The house shows to me are always the best. I think I can speak for both of us saying that some of the best shows we've ever had are house shows.
Yes.
But, you know, they come and go because people move and
police
they get, it gets busted. So I feel like the DIY scene is really, it's really come and go.
There's a lot of ebb and flow, yeah.
Yeah.
But it is consistent. We don't, yeah. Like, Cincinnati, I know, has a lot of dry spells where, like, there are no house venues, there's no DIY nothing for, like, a year or two. And then one will pop up, it gets shut down, and then there's nothing for, like, 6 months, and then two should come up, and then everything gets shut down. So, thankfully, we do have a consistent, it's, there's a big ebb and flow, but it is consistent in that, yeah, there's always something.
And, it's a pretty punk, it's, the town is pretty much led by, like, punk and hardcore music, and yeah, a part of punk and hardcore music, a part of that culture really is, like, house venues. Like, one might get shut down, but you know, like, someone's gonna step up and sacrifice their house, for the sake of shows. But other than DIY stuff, yeah, there's some cool venues. I think Louisville music scene is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's a very supportive community. And actually, last night, I met this douchebag at a bar named Morgan, and he was saying, well, as soon as I met him, he was like, oh, you're in a band? Here, let me play my whole demo for you off my phone.
While you're playing pool and ping pong.
Yeah. And he's like this, like, white boy, Justin Timberlake, wannabe, like, kind of rapper but kind of pop, I guess, like what Justin Bieber wants to be as well. But so he's doing that, he's like, yeah man, the Louisville music scene, I know they suck, they're not supportive, and you know, they've just never let me in. And
it just sounds more about, it says more about him than it does the actual scene.
Exactly. Right. I wanted to be like, dude, you're not seeing success because you're a fucking asshole,
you suck.
Like, all like, he's only talked about himself the entire time. But no, regardless, like, Louisville music scene is great, and if someone says otherwise, I mean,
they're not,
I don't
applying
know,
themselves. You don't just get, you can't just, like, go to one show or do one thing and then automatically draw a conclusion about what the music scene is. It's something, it takes a lot of, like, dedicated work. You're never going to see it if you never put the work into getting to know it, you know? If you, like, rent an apartment and you go out to, like, one bar show every month or so, you're never going to see the music scene. You're never going to see the community, and you're never going to know what that is. And the scene's going to suck for you, you know? But if you put the effort or work into anything, it comes around here.
No, just being nice, you know? Definitely, of course, how much hard work you put in to your music and, you know, musicianship and all that. But, making sure that you make friendly connections with people is the only way to get to the top of any industry, no matter if you're doing music or, I mean, anything. Being nice and courteous to me is, like, always number one, and it's really important to support other bands and be nice. You know, it's not a competition. At least it's not supposed to be. That's what Drumline is. It's a competition.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the regular world should not be one.
Totally. You're listening to Shoes on a Wire on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory. And this is my interview with Louisville scream pop band Girlwood. I'm going to take a little break, and then we'll be back with another song from Girlwood before continuing with the rest of the interview. So stay tuned.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
An Evening in Damascus returns for its fourth year. Join us on July 31st as this fundraiser brings the soul of Syria to the heart of Vancouver with music, storytelling, dancing, wine, and food. All proceeds go to support queer Syrian refugees. For more information and tickets, visit eveningindamascus.com.
You're listening to Shoes on a Wire on CITR 101.9 FM, and you've been listening this episode to my interview with Louisville, Kentucky scream pop band Girlwood. Before we get back to the interview, this is my favorite track from the record. This is Vaccines Made Me Gay. Ask you also, like, coming from Vancouver, there are definitely a lot of bands who are queer, but like the queerness is probably, it's like a little bit more covert and it doesn't come out quite as explicitly in like lyrical content. And for you guys, it's definitely like super forefront. Was that a decision, or was that like a, like, was that a choice up front, or was that just like what needed to come out for you?
We're both definitely obviously visually queer, and not only like the way we dress and hold ourselves, but like, I don't know, like, yeah, you can smell the gay from a mile away. Like, my face looks gay. Even if I had long hair, I look like a faggot. Like,
you've got dyke, like, face for sure.
Yeah, like, queerness in music is kind of like, we play music, like, and we're queer. It's like a pretty, that's not a super duper uncommon thing, which is, well, nowadays, which is great. But I want to say, I think probably a part of why ours is a lot more exaggerated, or we touch on that a lot more in our music, is probably because of the culture and environment that we're in. If you're in a, like, for if you're in a space where your sexuality doesn't put you in imminent danger or makes you a target to like people in your general daily life, it's probably a lot easier to, I don't want to say assimilate, but like, it's probably a lot easier to, my queerness isn't the very first thing about me, you know what I mean? Because it's not going to be something that gets me killed. Whereas here, it is something that definitely gets people killed. So it's a strong statement. It's also something that helps protect you, because it helps keep you in those groups. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, what, I'm trying to think of a nightmare. Okay, here's a nightmare. Right, let's say I'm very, like, hetero-presenting, and I don't sing about, like, a lot of really strong queer things, and let's say, I don't know, I'm just, like, very heteronormative, what have you. I'm socializing, and before I know it, I'm surrounded in a group where I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I'm gay. And all of a sudden, like, everyone gets really quiet and looks at you, and you, all of a sudden you notice everyone's wearing, like, khaki short pants and, like, light pink polos, and they're all named Chad, and they're all kind of, like, slowly, like, putting their hands in their pockets, going, uncomfortably, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Like,
so like, having that also is there is a certain strength about it, you know what I mean? Because it is a big deal to be openly and visibly queer right now. But I do want to also add that, like, it is trendy, and we do live in a progressive pocket, but in the end we still are in Kentucky, and that is still common that, like, I don't hold hands with someone I'm seeing. I don't do it because it's not safe. It depends on what end of town you're in, but overall, like, I'm not a very touchy PDA person, and I know a lot of queer people that kind of aren't. And for other queer people, being very touchy or PDA is a part of their expression, or it is a part of, like, how they stand out or how they claim their space. Like, for me, no, but I've also been out since, like, 2000. I don't even know. I was 12. I guess because I would, like, played music in the street for a long time, like, that probably has a part of it. I was gender bending in the street, because all my male counterparts that were playing music in the street made way more money than I did. So I was like, surely that's not why. But then I had an experience in the street where I kind of came to the conclusion, like, no, indeed, that is exactly why. And so instead of...
What was the experience?
I was having a really rough day in Stockholm, and I got kicked out of two spots. I got a pancake thrown at me and water thrown at me, and then one store owner came out with a broom and, like, literally swept me. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to keep walking, I guess. And I walked past this young dude. He had a sign out saying, I'm buying money for beer. He wasn't very good at guitar. He wasn't a very good singer either. And he's literally just kind of being silly and doodly, just trying to buy money for beer, right? And me, I'm like living in a tent in the woods. I walk 6 miles to the place I play music and to the place I sleep every day. And that's not including the subway. I'm like real tired and like angry and whatnot. And I see people around him and I can hear them murmuring. And he has a little crowd, and people are like, "Wow, look at this person. He's really gonna do something with himself. Look at him. Look at his presence. This is so strong. Like, I want to support this." I'm like, and that's kind of like the things I was like gathering from people talking as I was walking past. And I was just, and I looked at his case, and sure enough, he had like a good amount of money. And I was just like, which kind of honestly like further angered me. I was like, whatever, dude. And I keep walking. And then I walk to a group of girls, and it's like three of them, and they're playing guitar and singing. And the songs were super beautiful. They were harmonizing. The guitar was just really fucking good. They were making eye contact with everyone in the street. They were like they were great, you know what I mean? And I don't know why they were playing. They just had a case out. They had no money in the case, like, at all. Like, maybe one coin. And I heard someone passing going, oh, that's cute. And it just, it all of a sudden registered to me. I was like, whoa! And I immediately, like, went to a makeup store and bought mascara to paint my face instead of buying a kebab to feed myself that night. And I put a fake beard on. And I put sunglasses on. And I took the spots I usually do. No one kicked me out. And I started making as much money as all my other counterparts. I was like, oh my God. Like, because that's the thing, you know, is like, here's this guy out here playing guitar in the street. Like, oh, he's doing something strong with his life. He's passionate. Look, he's doing something for himself. This is great. Versus like a woman in the street playing music. And they're like, oh, that's cute. I guess because like, women are like what they're because they're women. They are inherently supposed to be attractive. You know what I mean? They're supposed to do these things that are like that are just for us to appreciate. You're filling space in a nice way. You're not the girls weren't passionate. They weren't going out and trying to do something with their lives or chasing dreams. They were just cute. Right. And that's like what I gathered that from that day. And ever since then, I started gender bending to perform, and it pulled out for me in the streets. Okay, so those are my, like, life experiences, right? So that's what I sing about, because I do exist within this, like, very structured culture, like, every single day. So it's a big part of my every single day is dealing with people that really do believe that, like, vaccines cause gayness and autism and that fluoride also makes you gay, or that... because you're born into, like, a feminine body, like, you're inherently supposed to be subservient sexually and bring me food while I watch sports because I went to work today and I had a hard day and my experience is all that matters in this house. You know what I mean? Like, that's a very normal mindset here.
Yep, definitely. I mean, Trump was elected, a year and a half ago or whatever. And, like, have you noticed that things have changed in terms of people's attitudes towards you two as like queer musicians or just queer people in the world, like specifically in Louisville, or has it always been this confrontational and like what sounds like pretty violent?
I mean, both, honestly. Like, have things changed? Definitely. We had a Nazi incident in Cincinnati when we played there. I don't know if that would have happened if the whole like Trump thing wasn't going on, because this person was very much saying Trump, go Trump, like in their assault. This like violent, conservative, aggressive mindset about it has always existed. It's been emboldened now with this current socio-political climate.
It's definitely, he gives people a platform and lets people think that it's okay to be a Nazi or be a racist. And speaking on it in Kentucky, with being queer, we're one of, you know, just a few states don't have this law, but we don't have a law that protects the LGBTQ community from discrimination in the workplace itself.
So we get fired for being gay, and that's legal.
Yeah.
Or housing as well, I think.
I've mentioned it to a couple other interviewers, but in my hometown of Elizabethtown, like, a man got fired for wearing a shirt that said LGBT on it. He was straight and he was just wearing like an ally t-shirt, and they fired him on the spot. And his boss criticized him also because he had a Holocaust memorial shirt for, the homosexuals that were killed in it. And, she said that's wrong to commemorate the homosexuals, who died in the Holocaust. So, yeah, definitely this armpit of the country has been given a platform, and it's, you know, being made to believe that, oh, it's okay, like, this is a, you know, everyone claims, like, oh, it's free speech, and freedom of religion to fire these people, and...
to hate or be violent even, too.
Yeah, so, yeah. I think this stuff has always been around. It's just a lot of these Nazi KKK people have been under a rock. You know, from time to time, especially in a small town. The KKK headquarters is in Kentucky.
There's a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, what life is like in California or New York...
It's not here.
And, like, yeah. Louisville is... I would definitely call Louisville a safe haven.
Definitely, yeah. If you're from any of, like, the tri-state area and you're, like, a young, queer, not white person, you're probably going to come here.
Right.
Yeah.
Louisville has a fairness ordinance in the city to where in the city you cannot fire a person based on their sexual orientation, but most counties in Kentucky, they don't have that because we don't have a state law saying that you have to abide by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wild. I it puts a lot of things in perspective. And it's also just looking at America from Canada, especially in this moment, it's just all these unreal, extreme contradictions in the same time. Because there are all of these, some of the most liberal and progressive cities in the world surrounded by some of the, most dangerous and least progressive places in the world. And, some of the best art in the world is coming out of those cities. At the same time, there's, the least art funding and, support for those communities. So it just seems like there's this total obsession and drive with just producing things as a form of resistance, and that seems like what you guys are doing, so it's really very inspiring.
Yeah, I want to add too that I don't know, a lot of people, a question we get asked a lot is what made you want to be a political band? And I'm like, bitch, I am not a political band. Being politically charged, that's our personal experience. We just so happen to be living in this timeline that makes our personal experiences political. I'm just a f***ing person. I'm just a f***ing person existing in this hole. I think someone else asked me one time, something about being radical. They're like, yeah, you're pretty radical. I was like, why? Why am I f***ing radical? Because I'm myself? Because I happen to, get crushes on, cute girls? That makes me radical? Because I believe that people should be themselves and be safe for it. That makes me radical. I was pretty offended by it. But, it sucks that in the end, I guess it is being radical right now in this, in this day and age, to, especially if you're not like heteronormative white male, it's radical and that's f***ed up. But if being yourself and not that is radical, then so be it. It's just crazy that in this time and age that anything that's not that right now is radical.
Like you said, though, there's a lot of really, really good, inspired, pushing back music and art coming out. And I actually I remember the election night after seeing Trump had won. No one expected. I remember looking over to my friend and saying, this sucks, but I was like, quote me, there's going to be a lot of really good music and art coming out in the next 4 years.
Yeah, people are going to get pissed.
Yeah, because there's something about shoving people down, and they come back with some f***ing great, really, really good, really good art. I don't know. Yeah, what did they say? Diamonds are made under pressure. Yeah, something like that.
Well, what's the stuff that you two are, leaning on that gives you hope, and you're just like, oh, thank God it's not just this little community that we're existing in?
We're not the only queer band that fronts queerness as what's going on. Here in Louisville, we have Bathroom Laws, which is a trans band here in town, and a lot of their topics are about their experience, you know what I mean? And the name is Bathroom Laws. It's perfect. It's grungy, maybe gothic, dark wave type music. We have another trans band here. It's a hardcore band called Transgression, and a lot of the alternative and hardcore scene here is very queer. And honestly, a lot of the super duper heteronormative straight honestly is boring and is not getting that much support. The city really is rallying behind everything alternative and queer right now, which is dope. We also have the Happy You, which is that's a proper I feel like surf punk pop band, and I know that the front person for that is very much queer. Every single performance is a very loud statement of that. Yeah, honestly, most of the punk bands I can think of that are doing pretty good right now in town or pop punk or hardcore, it's all queerness is definitely a part of it's the alternative experience right now, you know what I mean? Those are the groups that are under pressure, so those are the groups that are creating, and those are the groups that I guess are gaining strength because they're the groups that are being oppressed pretty hardcore right now with everything that's going on. So
there's a lot of really cool a lot of cool Afro punk bands are coming out right now in the country. And just like Ray said, it's, punk is a genre for people who've been pushed down, which is kind of ironic because it's had such a stronghold by by cis hetero white men, and yeah, it's had such a big hold by them that I think, you know, all genres transform and evolve, and you know,
it's evolving now to exclude them more or less.
Yeah. What are some of the Afropunk bands you had in mind?
Oh, Dad.
Yeah, there's we unfortunately were able to play with them. We were in Missouri and did get back to them, but Damned African Descendants. They're from Lexington, which is about an hour away.
Yeah, they're fucking dope.
Unfortunately, I think one of the members is moving to Colorado, so I think I'm not sure if they're going to play anymore, but I'm trying to remember the name of this. I just saw this really cool Afropunk band at Kaiju, a local bar, but seeing people of color, like, be more involved in punk music is really good, because it is something that, I don't know, there needs to be more diversity in it, honestly.
It's traditionally been something, like, pretty, like, and it's evolving into something that's, like, not shitty. Not that it's shitty, like, the music maybe has stayed the same, but it's not, like, your typical, like, oh, I'm 17, white boy, and I'm f***ing mad, and I f***ing hate my mom, and f*** you, and you're an asshole, and I'm gonna say all the bad words, and that's what makes me stand out cool, and right. Now it's, like...
The girl doesn't like me, she's a slut.
Yeah.
Let's drink a beer and shoot up heroin and die.
Pretty much, yeah. But it's evolving from that to being like, this system's fucked up.
Yeah, from the perspective of people who are actually like experiencing oppression.
Yeah, actually, have issues.
We played with like a pioneer of punk music, the Dickies, recently. Literally, okay, I was in the bathroom, and they're, like, playing, like, their last couple songs. They're the headliner, so they're last. I'm in the bathroom, and my friend sends me an article while I'm on the toilet of the Dickies frontman. He said at Warped Tour, like, oh, man, look at all these teenage girls. I just want to snort Viagra off their asses. And when someone said something about it, that's really f***ed up. That's pedophilia, like, bullshit. He got the crowd to chant, blow me, at that woman.
And wow.
So yeah. I'm literally like in the fucking bathroom thinking like, wow, like we're sharing a bill with a pioneer of punk music and they
misogynistic, turned out to be pedophilic, like f-hole.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it was just really, I don't know, it was really sad for me. I've always really liked punk music. Especially I love older music, and it's just really disappointing to hear that people you look up to are everything you fucking hate.
Yeah, like they are literally the enemy.
Like, yeah, they are the enemy. And you know, when we made a post about it, and there is a few people, like one guy was like, oh man, I didn't know, like I guess punkers got lame and y'all can't handle it, it's freedom of speech. I'm like, dude, it's not an argument.
It's
a
not
freedom
it's
of
like,
speech.
Hate speech is free speech, and you can take your hate free speech and fuck off, because that's obviously what we're not about, and that's like what the whole point of this statement is. And apparently that you're into that, you should fuck off. Like,
right, like we're not saying that you're not legally allowed to say that. I mean,
we're saying that.
We're saying fuck you, we don't want to play with you. Not, oh, we're snowflake crybabies here. To me, that's more punk than saying like, yeah, cool, we're going to let this really rich old 60-year-old man talk about teenage girls and snorting sex drugs off their buttholes. Like,
it's weird, it's predatory, and it normalizes toxic, dangerous behavior. Like, punk is stepping up and saying fuck you. Because that's the norm. I guess, like, maybe, like, that behavior used to be standing out and being independent and claiming your space. But nowadays, like, that is the norm. A whole crowd agreed with you, and it's fine. And that's the issue.
Someone
that's
like Sid Vicious is idolized by people. You know, Sid Vicious, who f***ing stabbed his girlfriend. And he's this, like, punk hero that you see plastered on T-shirts. And I want to be like Sid and in the 27 Club. It's just, I don't know, people are idolizing just terrible, terrible humans.
I'm your dad.
Are you guys going to tour this record? Like, are you going to bounce around the U.S. and maybe come north?
I mean, like, I want to, right? But I had no money.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe eventually.
Right now we're traveling in my 2004 Honda CRV, and it just hit 200,000 miles. All right. I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's Karen's personal, like, car, and we just, like, take it. I think we, like, do a pretty common three-hour radius. If it's within 3 hours, we'll, like, drive there and back for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty common for us. We do that. Like, honestly, we're, right now, thank f***ing God, we're finally at a point where we're, like, well, almost as many Louisville shows we have, we're also out of town, either in, like, Cincinnati, Lexington, Indianapolis, or, like, Bowling Green.
Yeah.
We're stuck in the armpit. Get us out.
Like, mark our words, we will tour for sure. That's like, we will be in Canada.
That's like the prophecy, right? Is that like the land of lesbians out west. All the lesbies are out on the west coast, right?
Release the record on Sonoblast Records. Like, what's that about? What are they all about?
Sonoblast is like, so it's Gil Holland's label. I'm pretty sure he's from New York. He also has a movie production company label, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he bounces back and forth a lot. He moved to Louisville, I think, because like the property is like hella cheap and it's actually really nice. I know it's compared a lot of times to like Portland, Oregon before it boomed. And that it's like, it's really cool. There's a lot of really badass architecture and old Victorian buildings. The rent is really cheap. The standard of living is pretty, like, low. There's a lot of saturation of, like, awesome artists. Yeah, and we're definitely in, like, a little golden era right now in the scene of, like, what's going on. So a lot of people are moving here right now. So our boom hasn't hit yet, but it's definitely growing to that point. Soon.
That's awesome. So it's like semi-affordable there.
Oh yeah, dude. I pay $300 flat. That's like everything.
Oh my god.
I pay $250 flat, everything included.
I mean, keep in mind we do live in an art gallery though. We don't live in your typical like apartment. But
we have 13 roommates.
We have 13 roommates. But we for $450, like around $450, that can definitely get you utilities included, studio flat, like here in the downtown area, in like a good place you'd want to be.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that is not the case on the West Coast, so I guess it's a trade-off.
But Sauna Blast is cool. They, you know, they've never told us, like, no, you can't say that. No, like,
yeah.
You know, at least say some, like Ray said, we're not intentionally trying to be radical, but just being ourselves, what other people may call provocative things, mm-hmm. come out. And Sauna Blast has always been super cool on that.
They like it. They're about it. They're like, yeah. They've never told us to like turn down the gay. And I do know other artists that have had that issue with their producers and or labels. They're like, yo, can you do this a little more, do that a little more? These people literally have like, they're not as structured as I'd like to work with another company in the future, but it's been pretty awesome in that they've literally been pretty much like, here's your budget, produce an album. We suggest you do this. Other than that, it's really free reign.
Right. Gil is great. I definitely feel like he's a trustworthy person. Yeah. Also, Jackson Lee Swain, who is also a really cool musician. He's like the band leader for Wanda Jackson, the like queen of rock. They're really cool guys, and they're great to work with. And I feel definitely very fortunate to, you know, have them be like one of the stepping stones in Girlwood's career.
Cause in our life.
Whenever, you know, I remember the first meeting with them, Gil said like, you know, he wasn't trying to like trap us down for years. He made it clear, like, you know, I want you guys to move on to bigger labels and do bigger things. I just want to be, you know, just a, you know, a part of the ladder. And
he's also really adamant about like, I guess like about he made like a silly comment once, like, I want to be the only like dude that has anything to do with this album. But honestly, that is how it is. Like our whole album was recorded and mixed and mastered by Anne, who is like non-male identifying, and then it was mastered by Shelly, who's like a really awesome master here in town, and she's also non-male. And what else happened? I feel like pretty much everything that we've done so far has been like with all of the powerful women here in town, which is cool.
That's fantastic. I unfortunately am out of time, but I feel like I could keep listening to you guys tell stories forever. So, like, is there anything you want to like add just to finish things off here before we end the call?
We need money because we want to come to Vancouver Land.
So buy your record.
Buy our
everybody
record,
listening. Yeah. Buy your record. Awesome. Well, thank you both very much. I hope good luck. I hope you don't have any more police coming into your living space anytime soon.
That'll happen, dude. I'm sorry. That's just like a given.
Yeah, that was the worst shit to wake up to.
Sorry again.
Flashlights in my. Yeah, I also had a girl who had no shirt on in my bed.
Did she freak out?
Yes, we all freaked out because you know they're telling me like someone broke in, someone climbed through the window. I'm like, god damn it, it's my roommate, and they're like, well, we don't know that, so we need to come in there.
Hold
and
on,
I'm
back to like the room's dark. Police with flashlights in your face,
and I've got like, off. Yeah, got her shirt off. I've got weed in the room. Cop bus in, and they're like, take us upstairs. And I'm like, let me go get my roommate, and I'll come back. And they're like, nope. And they're about to bust down the door. It was nuts, but
what? They almost busted down the. I've been pissed if I would have woke up and someone busted down the door to upstairs. I've been like, what the? You better pay for that.
Okay, I really have to go. I really want to hear the rest of the story, but someone is like gonna bust into the studio right now, so I don't know. I hope you guys make it to Vancouver soon.
Thanks.
Okay, take care.
Have a good
thank
one.
You yeah you too.
Thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.
Bye.
You're listening to Shoes on a Wire on CITR 101.9 FM, and that was my interview with Louisville, Kentucky band Girlwood. If you want to find out more about Girlwood, you can follow them on all of the social media platforms. Their record, Daddy, was released in June of this year. Make sure to go over to Bandcamp and buy it so that they can come tour Vancouver and play for all of us listening, unless you're not in Vancouver, in which case you should still buy their record. But anyways, thanks a lot to Girlwood for the interview. It was super fun to chat and hang out. And thanks to all of you for listening. Stay tuned. Up next is Democracy Watch on CITR. And take care, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.